By the way, if you do smell anything, it's a figment of your imagination. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's figment. It's not real, honest. I got to tell you this. I had a dream. Chris told me not to tell you, but I got to tell you. It was, and it's happening. I can't believe it. But anyway, it's two nights ago. I woke up with a cold sweat. Is that bad? But anyway, I was preaching. Well, I was going to preach. But anyway, we were doing the songs, and we had something. It wasn't that, but it was something. We had, and the place was full. The church was really full, and everybody was here, and it was great. And it was, you know, and we did these things. And I stood up with Chris, and we prayed, and then I went to the office to get something, came back out, and everybody was gone. It was like 10 people left, and I hadn't preached yet. And I was going, oh, man. It was Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody went down to eat. I'm not leaving here, just in case you're wondering. As soon as I went out, I came back out. Everybody was gone to eat, and so anyway, I'm watching you. That was easy. Where are we at, by the way? We're in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through, I don't know, where do you want to go here? 1 through, I'm going to read verses, no, I'm not going to read them. I was going to read verses 1 through 13, but I'm only doing the first two verses, so we're not going to make it that far. But I kind of wanted to get the context, but we'll look at the context next week. We're just going through the first two verses. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. We're just going to start there, all right? Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this, your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you allowed testing of your own son. Father, not to build his faith, because obviously he was full of faith, but Father, to show us what a dependent life looks like. Help us, Father, to grasp this, to catch on. Because Father, your son always came back with truth. He came back even to the subtle nuances of using your word wrongly. He came back with truth and used your word correctly. And Father God, use that as his defense. Father, I pray that we would take that and honor you and honor your word with that. Father, show us truth. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is about the temptation of Jesus Christ. And we've heard several things about it. When we go through this, I want to show you how subtle Satan is. But we're not going to do it this week, because we're only going to get through the first two verses. What Satan uses is amazing. And he still uses it today. Luke has written this gospel about the personhood of Christ, the fact that he is 100% human. And that's going to come out in the temptation as we look at that. But he is showing that for a purpose, and that purpose is so we can see that Jesus Christ is our example. What we've seen in Luke is that he is being very precise in the announcements given to the belief and the non-belief, belief by Mary, the non-belief by Zacharias, in those announcements by Gabriel. We saw the birth of John, the birth of Jesus. We saw the childhood of Jesus, his growing up years. Just one instance in it, that's all we have. And then we see this beginning of John's ministry and Christ himself being baptized. We looked at all of that, and last week we looked at the proof of the Messiahship and the genealogy and how important that was. So this week what we're looking at is the beginning of Christ's ministry, the preface to the beginning of Christ's ministry. Let's say that. Because this aspect of temptation, this area is very important to understand. It's Satan's temptations to Jesus. And all we're going to look at today is the setting. I want to set the setting very carefully. Because what we're going to look at next week is some of the aspects in which Satan uses in his temptations. But the setting is very important. If you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. The setting here is that Jesus was just baptized. It was a spiritual high point, you could say, but it was where God the Father audibly spoke to the people who were there, audibly spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." This was a huge thing, where God the Father had testified according to that. And then directly after that, Jesus is led into the wilderness. Jesus goes into that wilderness, probably the wilderness that John the Baptist had come from. This area in Israel was a wilderness. It was a barren wilderness. It wasn't a wilderness in which, you know, it was easy to live. In fact, nobody lived there. You couldn't even raise animals in that section of the wilderness. You couldn't do anything there. It was barren. It was desolate. It was hot. It was dry. Uninhabitable. So here he is going in, verse 1. He was full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan, led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. He was there for 40 days. And in the midst of that 40 days, the whole time, he was being tempted by Satan. Not just the last few days, which we see. We'll see the direct temptations that he endured the last several days or the last ones or whatever. But for a whole 40 days, he had every temptation. In fact, later on in Hebrews, Scripture says that he was tempted in all aspects just as we are, yet without sin. So there are various conclusions we can draw from that what he was tempted by, we are, and yet the difference is he didn't sin. He had no sin in him. The word tempted here is the same word as testing. It means testing, or you can put trial in there. So Christ was enduring trials. He was enduring testing. Satan was testing the Son of God. Why would Satan be testing the Son of God? We're going to look a little bit at that next week. Whether he was seeking a flaw, what he was doing. We're going to look at that. We'll examine that a little bit next week. But I want you to see that when this happened, because the setting's important. Where he was, barren place, when it happened. It happened after what we would consider something, a spiritual high or a spiritual encounter that was exciting. It happened after that. It happened during and after 40 days of not eating. It happened at a very low time, a very hard time physically. He was tired. He was hot. He had endured every temptation and trial and was put on him by Satan. So the physical aspect of his body was speaking to him. The physical aspect, which was saying, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. This is getting worse. He would go to bed hungry. He would wake up hungry. But I want you to see right off the bat, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that he had the Holy Spirit in him. That's not the meaning, okay? You go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to read it real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm not going to read it because I don't have it. So I'll quote it roughly. Okay, let's go with roughly. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so there's a comparison going on. And he's talking to Christians in Ephesians. And he's telling them to be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative. It's like a command. He's telling them to be filled with the Spirit. But it's a passive. It's not something that we do. However, it is something that we can stop from happening. All right? The comparison is between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. The aspect of being drunk with wine is being controlled by something other than yourself. being controlled by that want. So instead of being controlled by something other than yourself want, be controlled by the aspect of the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit himself. That's what he's talking about. So in your Christian life, you can have times when you're not filled with, and you can have times when you are filled with the Spirit. Because it's being controlled by the Spirit, being dependent on the Spirit. And who in their life was totally controlled by the Spirit and remained that way his whole life? Jesus Christ. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, there were other people in Scripture. There was Paul. He was mentioned at various points that he was filled with the Spirit. Peter, John the Baptist, Cornelius. Certain people who at some point in their life were filled with the Spirit. They were controlled by the Spirit. And it's a passive. The Spirit does the work. All right? Jesus is the ultimate example of the filling of the Spirit, where he did nothing on his own. Scripture said that. He did nothing on his own. He only did what the Spirit told him. He only said what the Father told him to say. He only did what the Spirit did in him. The Spirit led him. In Ephesians, what we see is it's not our power to be filled, it is our prerogative. We can allow the Spirit's filling because we can yield to what the Father says. We can yield to who he is and what he has done for us. The Spirit led Jesus. He was filled. He was filled with the Spirit. Did you notice the timing when he came? He ate nothing during those days. He became hungry when the time was ended. All right, all of that's going on. Physically, he was down. Physically, he was low. And that's when Satan was attacking. That's when Satan was offering these temptations, these testings, these trials. Okay? But there's one thing that I want you to see before we leave today. I want you to look at the end of verse 4. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. That's one thing that confused me to begin with. Because, you know, most of the time what we think of is that Satan is in control. Jesus, the Son of God, was led by the Spirit around in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit is who took Jesus to the wilderness to be tested. So it's the Spirit's fault, right? So it's his fault. Anytime we're tested, it's his. No. Listen to what it's talking about here. Because Jesus, the perfect man, the perfect God, the Spirit took him into the wilderness. The Spirit not only allowed him, but took him through this. He did not tempt Jesus. Holy Spirit did not tempt Jesus. James, that's one that I've got. James says this in chapter 1, verse 13, I believe. Yes. Says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Satan does tempt. Satan does test. Satan does throw trials upon us. But it's not God that does it. However, God the Holy Spirit led Jesus into that area where he was tempted by Satan. He was tested by Satan. He was tried by Satan. The Holy Spirit led him there. All of these temptations, by the way, were sin. All of these temptations would have produced sin if Christ would have went along with what Satan said. All of these temptations were to consider the flesh above the Spirit. And we'll look at those individually starting next week. But why would God the Spirit allow temptations and trials, especially for Jesus and even for us? Well, for Jesus, it was to show us the life lived in dependence to God. Total dependence upon God. Total dependence upon the Holy Spirit. As our example, as an example to us of a life of dependence. Luke brings out the very manhood of Jesus. Remember, Luke's theme, his purpose is to show that Jesus Christ was a perfect man, completely, fully human. And as a perfect, well, as a perfect God-man, according to John, he is perfect God also. So as a perfect God-man, Jesus would not sin, or he would cease to be God, because God cannot sin. But in his humanity, he endured. He endured those trials. He endured those temptations and defeated Satan's attacks for our benefit, to show us a true life, abundant life, and a victorious life. And that it's not always easy in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, that the Holy Spirit leads us into. The Holy Spirit is doing this. Testing may come from Satan, but it is the Holy Spirit that may put us in the midst of that testing. You realize that? Most of the time when we have a test or a trial or temptations, we tend to say, oh, well, you know, Satan's just doing it all. It's all Satan's fault. The Holy Spirit may be the one putting us in that place. Okay, now, I don't want to blame him for everything. There are consequences to sin. When we sin, we may be going through the consequences and saying, well, the Spirit or Satan's attacking. Well, he can attack in the midst of those consequences. He can, and he probably will. But a lot of times it's just the consequences of our own sin. If I steal money, I have to pay it back. I may get in trouble. That's the consequence. That's not Satan's attacks. That's my stupidity. Jesus didn't have that aspect. And yet he was tempted. He was tested. He was tried. Oftentimes, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us to a place where we are not at bay. It's not something that we cause because of our sin, and yet Satan is attacking. There are definite circumstances that hurt. And he attacks at times when we are low. He attacks at times when we're vulnerable physically. Jesus was physically vulnerable. And that's one of his favorite times to attack. And what are the attacks? Well, next week. We're going to look at the attacks next week. But those attacks involve taking the flesh and putting it preeminent over what is spiritual, getting our focus away from the truth of God to ourself, taking our focus away from who God is and what he has done for us to what I want, to what I think I need, to what's best for me in my opinion. Do you realize that sometimes, I know this is really a stupid statement, but sometimes what we think is best for ourselves isn't? If you've got kids, you know that already. But you can't convince them of it. Like my dad can't convince me of it, usually. All right? What we think is best for ourselves isn't always. I don't want to get into that situation where Satan's attacking me. I don't want to go through that. Had a guy in Minnesota when we lived up there in our Sunday school class. He said, well, we're talking about Peter, 1 Peter. He said, well, when you see a trial coming down the road, can't you just take a different route? You know, like, it's there, and can't you just go the other way and take a different route? Well, if you do, what's on that route? Because God's not stupid. And if it's the Holy Spirit leading you in that path, he's going to have another one there, because there is something that we need to understand about testing and trials. Jesus understood it. Jesus went through those testings and trials, and we're going to go through how he responded, but he understood it, and he came out showing us his endurance and the importance of that. Real quickly, I'm going to read to you from James. James chapter 1 again, verse 2. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren. Do you notice it doesn't say, feel joyful? It says, consider it joy. In other words, doesn't make sense, but think of it as joy. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, which is this word right here, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Romans chapter 5 says this. I think it's Romans 5. Yes. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. Through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. So we have a position where we're exalting in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, testing, trials, temptations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, endurance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character what we started with, hope. Did you notice that? He starts off with hope. He says, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. We exalt in hope. How do we get that hope that we exalt in? We exalt in tribulations because it brings about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have hope because of those testings, because of those trials. Because we have an example of what Jesus Christ, how he went through them and what he came out with afterwards and what we are to come out with after. Endurance, perseverance, which builds proven character, and proven character, which builds hope, which is what we stand on as Christians. What's the difference between Christians and non-Christians? We have a hope in who we are in Christ and the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And that hope is strengthened and built through temptations and trials and tribulations. So much so that God, through the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into a nasty place, an icky place, a hot, a dry, a horrible place. And he didn't eat for 40 days. And Satan tempted all of that time. And some of the temptations are just amazing. Okay, as we get into this, as we see what they are, it's amazing how subtle Satan can be. But his goal was to get Christ to focus on something other than his Father. And his goal in us is to get us to focus on something other than our Father. God, our Father. And you know the problem? It's easy to do. It's easy to do for me, right? I can refocus really quick because I need to constantly come back to the filling of the Spirit. I need to constantly come back to the fact that the Holy Spirit is leading me sometimes in these directions in which Satan can attack. And he's doing it because he knows I need to grow. You know what that means? That means I can trust God even when the circumstance I'm going through is pathetic. It's something I don't want to go through. I would never put myself in that situation or anybody that I liked, maybe a few people I don't, but I would never put anybody that I liked in that situation. And God says he loves us and he leads us into a situation in which we are tried, tempted, tested. But you know what he promises? He promises this: no temptation has taken, same word, has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Guess what he provided with Jesus? The way of escape. What was the way of escape? His word. The truth. The truth didn't get Jesus a piece of bread. The truth gave Jesus the endurance that what was more important than a piece of bread. Following God's design. The truth didn't make Jesus popular. The truth didn't make Jesus a spectacle for everybody to see that he was the Son of God. Those temptations. But the truth gave Jesus the dependence that he needed on the Holy Spirit. The truth gives us the dependence we need on a God who is in control of all of that. The truth may not give you the status you want. The truth may not give you the money you want. The truth may not give you the home or whatever it is that you want. But what the truth will give you is the dependence on the Father that you can trust Him in the midst of all of that problem. And the Holy Spirit leads you there. That's what got me. We don't just fall into temptations. They don't just happen to happen. Our trials, our testing, our temptation doesn't just happen to be because we're unlucky. Because God doesn't like us. He wants us so much to endure and depend on Him and grow in our character and grow in our hope in God, that He directs us into that problem, into that tempting, into that trial. He directs us right there. We say, no, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. Guess what? That's probably worse. That's probably the way where it's a really hard knock. Because God loves us so much that He wants to grow us. He wants us to be dependent on Him. So in all of this, just to set the... And I know this is a long-winded setting, but this setting is so important to know, because there are so often we look at temptations and trials and problems as all Satan's fault. God may want you in the middle of that. And it may not even be for you. It may be for someone else. It may be so I can grow in my faith. There are folks who over the years have struggled with cancer, struggled with a problem, and ended up dying. You know how much my faith was built in that? Our faith collectively was built in that? God loves, and God wasn't mad at them. They got promoted. They got to go home. And we're still here. I think God was mad at us. Maybe God was mad. Let's do this philosophically. Huh? That's a bad idea. All right, but we're still here, so God is interested in growing us spiritually and growing us in truth. And you know what? He shows us how. He gives us an example. I would love to continue on, but He's going to give it. We're going to look at it next week. He gives us an example in His Son, Jesus Christ. He shows us how to endure, shows us how to go through this and endure and defeat the attacks. As He leads us there, He is showing us how to defeat the one who's going to test us, the one who is going to try us. You say, well, I've never been tried by Satan. Baloney. You have and you will. Because Satan is not going to give up. But neither is the Holy Spirit. Neither is the one who loves you so much. You know, in all of this, I want you to know, you can trust your Father. You can trust the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You can trust Him as He leads you, as you are filled with the Spirit, as you are controlled by Him. As He is the one leading you, He may lead you into a place you don't like to be. But you can trust Him. And you can take what Jesus Christ did, and you can utilize that as Satan attacks. And you can endure, and you can get proven character, and you can grow in your hope. So your hope is so steadfast, nobody can take that from you. You will know who you are in Christ. You will know His love. I only got to the setting, folks. The first two verses, I'm sorry. But this is important that we understand. It's important that we understand that we can trust the Holy Spirit, even though we're following God, we're wanting His will, we're wanting Him to work in us, we're wanting to follow Him, and we're in the midst of this situation where I'm tested and I'm tried and it's a problem. He may have put us there. And it's not because He doesn't like us. It's because He wants us to grow and loves us so much that He'll carry us through this, and we can lean on Him and utilize what He has said. We can trust that God. We can trust that God without worry, without being anxious. We can lean on Him and we can rest in Him so that all the burdens go, my God is in control. And my God may have led me there, but my God will protect me in it. He has promised me that. We serve a great God. We serve a wonderful God. This Thanksgiving, Thursday, as we get together with your families or wherever, know this, you serve a wonderful God. Be thankful. Be thankful unto God. Bless his name. He is the one who's provided for us. He is the one who's provided, not even physically, yes, but he has provided hope. He has provided something in us that Satan can't touch. As much as he tries, he cannot take away anything that God has given us in our character and in our building and in our hope. God loves you. If you don't have a relationship with God, I would love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship. You can be called a child of the King, a true child of the King, and grow in that. Yeah, growing may go through the wilderness part. Growing may be hard, but growing is worth it. Growing in your faith is worth it because the outcome is eternal life and abundant life. Abundant life means here and now. Eternal life, that's starting today. That's not, you know, someday when I die, someday in heaven. No, that's starting now. We can live abundantly, the Holy Spirit leading, even if it's in a problem or through a problem. We can still live abundantly. Trust your Father. If you haven't trusted him, I would love to show you from Scripture how you can have that relationship. If you have, be filled with the Spirit. It's your prerogative. It's your prerogative. It's not your power. It's not your power to be filled with it, with him. Whoa. But it is your prerogative. You can prevent it. But he loves you so much, he wants to control. He wants you to depend on him, and he will lead you, and he will guide you because he loves you. We're going to close today. Man, I wanted to get to those temptations. They're really good, all right? It's really neat how God uses that. But I didn't get there. But we're going to close today.